The answer is that we experience the world through choice. There is no given world. If Newton's apple was anything like the one sold at the supermarket, it was red, sweet, crunchy, slightly grainy in texture, and within a certain range of weight. None of these properties exists in nature. They are perceptions of the human mind. The apple doesn't need to be reinvented every time you encounter it. Once your perception has decided that apples taste like apples rather than pears or avocados, they stay that way in your mental setup. As we saw earlier, reality is filtered through the brain and its built-in limitations. Recall the revolutionary thinking about this by Arthur Korzybski. But the brain's imperfection doesn't negate a simple fact. Everything we perceive is a mental creation, accumulated over millions of years of evolution. It sounds strange to say that we chose for apples to be sweet, because that happened long, long ago. Once sweetness became part of our perception, it was expressed physically in our taste buds, which in turn are encoded in our genes. A separate apparatus for liking or disliking sweetness is encoded in our brains. But change is always possible. If you are ill enough with the flu that nothing tastes good, for example, an apple's sweetness can be totally erased by your perceptions. As conscious beings, we still aren't universal perceivers. Our eyes can't see objects in pitch-black darkness. If the human brain could detect ultrasound frequencies and infrared light, traits found elsewhere in nature, among bats, sharks, reptiles, and so on, those abilities would get translated into how our brain functions. Yet we can go beyond our limited hardwiring by developing instruments for detecting frequencies of lights and sound where our senses leave off. In that sense, we've turned ourselves into potential universal perceivers after all. As choice makers go, we seem to be the champions in nature. There seem to be many things we can't choose to change, such as gravity, the hardness of rocks, and the solidity of a brick wall. Some distinctions need to be made, therefore. Our perceptions come in three types: perceptions we can't change, perceptions we can change, perceptions that sit on the borderline, being sometimes changeable and sometimes not. In your personal reality, all three kinds mix and match. If you don't like the color of the shirt you're wearing, you can change it. That qualifies as a changeable perception. If you can't walk through walls, that falls among the unchangeable perceptions. One could continue with hundreds of examples from each category. The spice of life comes from the perceptions we change, while the solid security of life comes from the ones we can't change. If you could decide not to obey the law of gravity on Mondays, a world of chaos would ensue, beginning with your body vanishing in a misty cloud of atoms. But what's truly fascinating is the third category: the perceptions we can sometimes change and sometimes cannot. This is where quantum theory made our participation in nature more puzzling and more enticing at the same time. It created a shadow zone where particles and people both can make decisions. Being passively present without participating was no longer an option. Every perception is an act of participation in reality. If you perceive another person as the love of your life, your actions will lead you into areas of reality unknown before that perception. Every day our actions exist on the cutting edge of evolution, the frontier where the mind is caught between caution and curiosity. The most obvious example is miracles. Who wouldn't love to believe that a human being once walked on water? That faith can cure cancer overnight? That the dead are in communication with the living? The controversy over miracles isn't whether they can occur, however, but in what category they belong to. A miracle is only available if it fits into the third category, things that sometimes occur and sometimes don't. Of course, you can always practice total exclusion, the fixed attitude of atheists and skeptics, or inclusion, the fixed attitude of the religiously devout. And if you have no fixed attitude, then you belong in the company of visionary quantum pioneer Wolfgang Pauli, who said, "It is my personal opinion that in the science of the future, reality will neither be psychic nor physical, but somehow both and somehow neither." By using a word that science shuns, psychic, Pauli was pointed to a kind of ultimate mystery. The vast physical mechanism we call the universe is on dual control, obeying natural laws and thoughts at the same time. This is the basic reason we presently occupy an uncertain universe. But Pauli pointed the way to a solution when he predicted that reality's amalgam of mind and matter would be both and neither at the same time. This sounds like a paradox, so we'll unravel it to reveal why Pauli was simply stating an undeniable truth.